Jim Rutledge.
For me, Jordan Love can start shutting people up by just winning the damn division one time.
Molly Brown.
You should be going further than getting a 7 seed and not winning a playoff game. That is a fact. You should be getting further with this team that you have.
Welcome to Wisconsin's Afternoon Hangout.
Do you think the Packers would win 5?
Yes, that's what I said.
Neutral
I said it 3 times. 5 and 5.
Why?
This is Molly and Jim, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
It's good to hear you're still a positive person after working with Jim for as long as you have.
Alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
Molly and Jim filling in for Wildy and Tosh. You can see us on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's the Carbo Stock and Text line. This is more. We're asking you, what's the most exciting thing to see in person as far as a walk-off? Whether that's a home run, whether that's a game-winning basketball shot, or if it's a game-winning football play. Lots of different ones out there.
You just sounded like somebody that does not know sports when you said game-winning basketball shot.
I know.
Maybe a buzzer beater?
Buzzer beater. Thank you, Molly.
There you go.
Thank you. Look, judging by the comments, I don't think anyone thinks I know sports, especially
now we don't know ball.
The ESPN Milwaukee's Instagram feed, especially,
oh, I have not
is very
seen this.
Much in their feelings, which got me thinking, and we're going to get to our Packers talk again here, but my license plate, Molly.
Oh, God. Why are we bringing this up again?
You have ridden in the People Like Me Mobile.
Or PP Lick Me Mobile.
Either one.
Some may say.
You've ridden in it.
Okay.
My family now, it doesn't love the idea of riding in it. So let's touch on my personalized license plate here, which apparently was outed during Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I think, on Friday last week.
Correct.
Have we ever discussed Jim Rutledge's vanity plate?
No. What is it?
I'm going to try really hard to describe this and let you guys figure out why it is. He tried to make a plate that is supposed to say people like me. It's spelled P-P-L-I-K-M-E. Write it down.
Well, pee-pee. I don't have to write it down. I heard the pee-pee.
Well, when you write it down, Jen.
Let me see.
Well, don't say it.
The like sounds like lick.
I like Milwaukee.
Nope.
Is it lick?
It is lick.
Yeah, pee-pee. Yeah, and then M-E.
Yeah.
So.
Why did he think he could double up on the L? He's using the L for the end of the first word and the beginning of the second word. You got to have two L's.
He ran out of space. Because
yeah,
then how are you going to get to
so
me?
Many, yeah. You only have so many.
He had to make cuts.
Wait, so he still has this
still
plate?
Has it.
Does he really?
Yes.
He's not been arrested?
No. And I don't understand.
For what solicitations?
I don't understand.
Seems like an advertisement to me, Chen. Yeah.
How that got through.
Yes.
If his intent.
I understand the intent.
Are here,
right. You write it down and it's clear as day.
Can we just be thankful that the M-E wasn't an E-R?
I am thankful for that. It stands for people like me. There's literally no other way around it. My family is, I've tried to like figure out ways to fix it. You could do a Y for the I, but that looks like a tongue.
Yep.
So I think that makes it worse. I think it really looks like people like me if you put a Y instead of an I there. Don't you think so, Riley?
Yeah, it doesn't look any better. That's for sure.
You can't do people without the PP. It just doesn't work. And yeah, I had to double up the L, and I can't end with an M like people lick them. Like that's how that would go with an M.
No, that's weird.
Yeah. So
well, the whole thing is weird.
So I had to go with it. But the people like me is a little bit from one of the iterations of this show where nobody likes me really on social media. I think Molly tolerates me. But
when you're not muted,
right, Molly? I'm sorry. I meant in real life. You tolerate me, but
yeah.
On social media, you often have muted me.
Yes,
and I think plenty of people hate listen to Molly and Jim, or just watch it and listen to it because of Molly, now Riley. But so that's the fun part of it. But also, I get to do a lot of cool things in my sales job, and people like me. I'm good at my sales job, and I think it's because people like me. So that's the meaning behind people like me. It's a little bit tongue in cheek. But I do want to make sure that Josh says it right. It's people like me, not people like me. That makes me sound like a jerk. It's people like me. I like all people.
I don't understand the difference.
Even if they're not like me. If you say people like me, it feels like I am someone I don't want to represent. Okay. When I say people like me, that says that like people like me. I like me.
Gotcha.
I like people.
Gotcha. You got to enunciate on the right words,
yeah,
Riley. You got that?
People like me implies that I only like people like me.
Okay.
And I actually probably like people like me the least, so.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's like Del Griffith. My customers like me. My wife likes me.
Yeah.
Because I'm the real article.
What are you guys talking about?
From Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I do have a shirt.
Phenomenal movie.
A t-shirt that says, I like me. It does not say I like me.
Okay.
That's good.
I mean, that could be your next license plate. I like me. I like it. I meet.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbo Stock and Text Line. List is more. Ryan the Psychedelic says he listens. Our advisor says he listens for me. So thank you.
Are you going to renew these plates? Where do you land on this?
I'm going to renew. I like them. They're good. They're like it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I like them.
Because if your kids are literally refusing to ride in the car, you took your wife's car to the Brewers game this weekend, you said.
Mm-hmm.
If they're literally refusing, I mean, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Then your car stays clean. You know, you don't got to have like crumbs in the back seat and water bottles left in there and everything. But like,
the kids are filthy. My wife had her car detailed. Nobody's eating in the car, and yet there was still crumbs underneath the seat, like underneath my girl's butts on the seat. I'm like, how is you just shake off crumbs because you exist?
Okay. So. Question for you guys about vanity plates, because both of my roommates have vanity plates with nicknames, like they have their nicknames listed on their vanity plates. And one of my roommates, he loves it so much, he's willing to pay for my vanity plate if I get one.
Okay, wait, can I ask, what are your friends' nicknames?
Skr, short for Oscar. And then it's pretty good.
Okay.
I like it. Then they both have the UW Madison plates.
Okay.
And unfortunately, my friend, other roommate's name is Josh. I can't remember his nickname off the top of my head, but I know he has the vanity plate.
Then it's not a nickname if you can't even remember his nickname.
Exactly.
Or is this something you can't say?
From his family. Like, we didn't call him that. It's a family nickname. So I don't know it off the top of my head. But I want to ask you guys, should I take up the offer and get a vanity plate? And if so, what should it say?
Well, first of all, what is your nickname?
So I didn't really have a nickname in college. In high school, my nickname was Irish. My high school friends still just call me Irish. That was the nickname.
How would you, and I'm assuming that you, of all people, would get like UW plates too?
Yeah, I would get the Bucky plates.
Okay, so what happens?
Confusing like Notre Dame.
Yeah, so what happens when you go drive to the game at Lambeau this fall?
Yeah, Irish and with a Bucky plate.
Yep.
That's why I wouldn't want to get that
or,
as my vanity plate.
I know that your nickname here by some of the girlies in the Madison office is Spike.
Spike would never do that. Never in a trillion
years. Why is his nickname Spike?
I honestly don't know.
It was because one day I got a haircut, and they cut it a little too short, so when I combed it back, it just puffed up, whereas unlike here, it kind of goes to the side, and it stuck, and I can't shake it.
Do you remember the days of Riley having a mullet?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Your nickname could be mullet, too.
I was jealous, man.
So here's my take on vanity plates. I think it's a waste of money.
I kind of agree.
But like
it's like 40 extra bucks.
I get it. And like for me, I'm starting to look. So I have a black Kia from Metro Kia Madison. Oi. I have a black Kia and I'm looking at getting like black plates, because then when I have like black tinted windows and just everything, it looks kind of cool. It's like all black.
New black one. I think it's just like, so people can have the black plates to go with black.
Oh, I thought they like meant like, because so many of them are like
they have a
there is like there is like a black Road America one,
okay,
but this one is just like plain black, not Road America.
I don't like it. It's so boring and lame.
What, the black?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
okay.
It's not even in the normal Wisconsin.
Well, I'm
font.
Looking at getting that, and I'm actually looking.
That's
and I was
Molly's
like,
whole look right now is all black.
Exactly. I'm in my Nick Saban era. Okay,
I would say Jay-Z era. Doesn't he go all black everything?
Does he?
Yeah.
Run the road again.
That I don't know. But so like for me, I'm like, do I justify spending like $50 more, whatever it is, in order to get like that? But like vanity plates to me, what is so special that you think you're going to be so cool to put on a car that's like makes you different. And also me as a female, like I'd be worried about somebody like learning
in your car.
Yes. Learning my plate. And like, I get it. They can always write down like your plate as it is, but like learning my special one. And then they like see me on like my normal route or whatever it is. And they like stalk me.
These are things that men never think about, but that is very good. I'm glad you're thinking about it. I also would recommend like, don't do plates about your appearance. Cause there was one plate I said earlier where I live, but I'm not going to say it now because I don't want to put this person on blast. But there was someone who had a personalized plate that implied that they were attractive. And they're driving a minivan. And I obviously, when you pull up to that person, you're going to look.
You're going
to
verify. Mm-hmm.
And the plates did not match the look. So
yeah.
I would say.
So Riley, don't put hot producer on there unless like, you want
to
be judged.
Or you're going to have to be like rocking it every day. Like you just can't.
You have to look good at all times that you step into that vehicle, for sure.
Yeah, you can't have like a day where it's like, I'm just going to run to get some gas at Costco or something.
Literally, me yesterday, I went to the grocery store, and I was like, I threw on a sweatshirt with like running shorts, even though it was like 90 degrees, and my hair was a mess. I was
like the look of all teenage girls.
Yeah, basically.
Giant
but I was
sweatshirt,
like, who cares, right? Yeah. Like, that's what's happening. But if I had a license plate that said, like, hot mama, I couldn't ride in that car. I would have to go in my husband's car.
People are going to be making judgments.
Yeah,
do you have a nickname?
Sure. What?
Do you have a nickname?
Do I have a nickname? When I was a kid, / my brother still, I guess, sometimes calls me at Fuzz.
Fuzz?
Because I had super curly hair, so it was, like, fuzzy.
I would recommend not that as a license plate.
No, not a good one. Right now, no. I don't have a nickname at all.
That you're aware of.
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, if you guys have one behind my back, please tell me.
No,
maybe I'll get a vanity plate of it.
No, I think online it's just that girl or that woman.
That's true. But also, if your friend is going to pay for it and you really genuinely want one, take them up.
Yeah.
See, that's
what's
why
it going to cost you?
I'm thinking I just get the Bucky plates and have it randomly generate the letters and numbers so then I can have the Wisconsin plates. But without the added pressure of having something spelled out on a vanity plate. It's not my thing.
Yeah, people are going to judge it. What did you see this morning, Jim? You sent us a picture of one.
Oh, let me see if I can actually read this one. Hold on. I guess if it's on a license plate. All right, so it is. You're going to have
to spell it out.
Yeah.
Spell it out.
Well, there is a second part. It is a Road America plate, but it is DEEEZ.
D's.
It is a.
What's the next part?
There's nothing on the plate, but there could be accessories on the truck that would finish the statement.
Oh. What'd you guys take on those? Would you ever drive a vehicle that has those?
Dice?
Yeah, dice?
No. No.
Not a chance for me. That's weird, right?
Would anyone get in? Like, I wouldn't get in my own car.
That's fair.
I'd punch myself in my own face if that was my car.
What if I put them on your car? How long would it take you to notice?
Immediately.
I don't think you would.
I also don't want to have to explain that.
Jim, why are there
more like
peanuts on your car?
On the back of your truck.
Fair. That's true.
That's not a conversation I really want to get into.
You're dumb on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream says Kramer on Seinfeld had the best vanity plates. What were his?
Ash Man.
Oh.
Because he was he got the plates of a proctologist.
Oh, okay. So I think the whole reason that the Jen Gabe and Chewy clip came about was because they were talking about the woman in Florida who had the SQZ-A55.
Yes. I guess if you're a foot doctor, would you get like foot man?
No. Because I think, you want me to send you pictures? Like, are you going to pay me?
That was a weird toe, I'll tell you that much for sure. This is Folly and Jim. Say something, tell me all the right things. Something different for once. Molly and Jim continues on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. You can hear us in Madison, Milwaukee, and Beaver Dam. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge. Ride the yacht behind the glass. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's Carbo's Talk. Text line list is more. Back to Packers talk. The Athletic put a story out there that they believe the Packers are going to go under 9.5. Now, I wouldn't pick that. I wouldn't bet that. But the line that stood out to me in the overall picks was that the Packers are a team that habitually underachieves. And I think we go back to the Aaron Rodgers era and focus on that too, but let's just focus on the here and now, which is the Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love era. And I think they've underachieved two out of the last 3 years. Now, yes, last year, is there an asterisk to it because there were injuries? Absolutely. I still think because of the position they had the Bears in two different games, because that went in the Browns game, like you close those games out and maybe you have the division leading team, Lions, you handled them, but then you just weren't ready for a new team to come up and give you some issues. So I think there's still a case to be made for them underachieving despite the injuries because, look, they had the lead in the fourth quarter twice against the Bears. They lost both of them, most importantly, in the playoffs. They lost that game. And then you look at the year prior. Yeah, they won 11 games, but they were the seventh seed and they didn't win a playoff game. And Jordan Love's first season as a starter, absolutely they overachieved, which is big credit to them. And that, I think, is a lot of the excitement around what Jordan Love could be or could have been. But Jordan Love, I don't even want to have an argument about it, so we'll just make it easy. He's not a top five QB. And so that's, to me, top five QBs are the QBs that you can win because of. And I think Jordan Love's a guy you can win with. Is he going to have his moments that he win because of him? Yes, but consistently, because in the article it says, Jordan Love will have a few great games. And that's kind of what he does. He has some pretty steady Eddie games where he's going to turn out the same stats of probably 220-some yards passing, one or two touchdowns, and no interceptions. And then he'll have a game where he'll pop off and throw for 350 and three touchdowns and one interception, and he'll have a great game. But on the whole, he kind of just plays to his averages, which is what you want. He was inconsistent early in his career. Now he's consistent with a few great games mixed in there, which, again, puts him as a guy who's somewhere between 6 and 12. So I think if the Packers are actually going to achieve this year, I think it's going to be on the defense.
Okay, what about the defense besides Micah Parsons makes you think that they could, let's say, achieve, overachieve? Because I look at it, I'm like, okay, you look at Edgerrin Cooper, he's one of the top-rated guys on that defense. You look at Xavier McKinney, he's great, we know that. Mm-hmm. Micah Parsons is obviously the other piece, but they're going to be missing him for a good chunk of the season to begin with. So that does not make you feel that great. So what... like, what parts of this defense, besides those three guys, makes you feel like they're going to outshine what the offense does?
I think a big part of it, if you're watching the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, Molly is not a ventriloquist.
Thank God it is a good photo, because I am lucky, because there's a lot of times where the chins are chinning, and right now it is not happening, so thank God.
Yes, her
face
is frozen.
So honestly, tune into the ESPN Madison YouTube stream so you can see my frozen face.
Do you
want to
take a second and screenshot it for yourself and make it your new profile photo?
I mean, potentially.
But anyways, with the Packers side of things, that the defense, yes, Micah Parsons being out will be a big part
because
of it.
Because you also talked about... the wild card in Jonathan Gannon. Like, we don't know what he's going to be. We hope he's good.
I'm more worried about Gannon than I am Parsons, because when I talk about the defense needing to be elite, it's at the end of the season. Like, when these games are pushing into, are you going to win the division? Are you going to go deep into the playoffs?
So, and I think we've talked about it too. Like, the Packers are somewhat lucky that at least the beginning of their season, when they're going to be without Micah Parsons, is feasible to do. However, it's like, I'm not going to miss Rashawn Gary this season by any means, but also, what is this defense going to look like with only having, you know, Lucas Van Ness and Edgerrin Cooper and Xavier? Like, there's still so many holes and questions to me about this defense. I want to hope that they can go 7-0 or whatever it is without Micah Parsons, but is that actually feasible?
I don't think they will. When I talk about the defense, like, the offense is good enough, and I think the defense can hold on enough without Micah Parsons to put them in position that when Parsons is back, they can close out, get the division, and go win some playoff games. Because you're right. The D-line is all predicated on Micah Parsons, which is why they was smart to go trade for him. Because if Lucas Van Ness is going to do anything, it's going to be because Parsons,
for sure, he raises everybody around him.
Right, because you have to double-team Micah Parsons. You have to know where he is all the time. I think anyone else on that D-line, if they're going to do anything, it's going to be because of Micah Parsons. Can they be serviceable until then? Yeah. I think Edgerrin Cooper is one of the best interior linebackers in all football, so I think he's going to only get better. He's got his faults, but he's still a very good inside linebacker, and he's very quick, and I think his recognition skills are only getting better. With McKinney, he's already proven who he is, so I think that even if he's just steady Eddie and is like the seventh best safety in NFL, that's still pretty premier there at a very important position. So I look at their defense that when they're healthy, they have a top 10 player at all three levels. And I think that's why I like their defense more than their offense, because at offense, I don't think they have a top 10 player going into the regular season at any position.
On the offense?
Yeah. Jacobs is coming off a down year. You can make a case for him. And then Tom, he's coming off lots of injuries.
Jordan Love is a top 10 quarterback. He might be at the bottom. He might be 9
disagree.
Or 10.
We disagree on that, but I have him like 11. There's no unquestioned top 10 guys. Because clearly it's a question if Jordan Love's top 10 quarterback.
What do you mean?
Like, some people think he is, some people don't. There's no question that Micah Parsons is a top defensive lineman. There's no question Adrian Cooper's a top linebacker. There's no question Xavier McKinney's a top 10 safety. There is a question if Jordan Love. It is not a universal thought within the league that Jordan Love is a top 10 QB.
Yeah, but they also had Jared Goff on that list, and we disagreed on that.
Right.
So.
Fair, but I still don't think it's universal that it's Jordan Love. I think everywhere else that those other guys are more universal. But Jordan Love, look, again, Jordan Love's 11. Even if you want to give him Love, they got one. On defense and defensive line, they got the best at defensive line. I think Cooper is probably top three interior linebacker. So just better players.
We talked about it. When the Packers won the Super Bowl, they were a defensive-led team.
Yeah. Well, Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, like they were the ones making plays, and Aaron Rodgers got to grow as the season went along into what he was. And you had the killer in Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is a killer. Jordan Love's not there yet. I don't know if you're born into that. I don't know if you can acquire it. But
it's that Mamba mentality.
On the other side of it, like, I'm not afraid. And I think that's the easiest way to put it. I don't think a lot of teams are afraid when Jordan Love has the ball if you're an opposing team. But like, oh, God, here's Jordan Love again. When Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had the ball, trust me, like, oh, we're going to lose.
But the benefit of like what you're saying, if they are a defensive-led team, you're scared when you got Micah Parsons hunting you down, right?
Yeah.
Like we all remember the video last year of him hunting Jared Goff down.
Yes.
Look, he's a killer.
I will buy the argument that Micah Parsons makes a difference in that Bears game, in both those Bear games, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll buy that argument.
Yeah. Makes me sick,
maybe,
even just thinking
honestly,
about it.
The play would have been like the Caleb Air Jordan throw. Micah might have gotten there a little bit faster, and Caleb can't get that throw off.
Yep.
But he wasn't there. And you have a roster that doesn't have anyone else that could step up. You had a defensive coordinator who couldn't figure out ways to solve that. And you had an offensive coordinator in LaFleur and a quarterback in Love that either played it too safe or couldn't get it done. Either way, there's no arguing they didn't have the killer instinct to put the Bears away.
Greg and Franklin says they'll never be great with Jordan Love as quarterback and Matt LaFleur as coach. I'm not reading his nicknames for them. He says, I think this part's interesting. They are now Pittsburgh 9-8 till something changes.
They are trending closer to Pittsburgh than they are the Chiefs, like Chiefs of the Premier.
Well, it's tough because I feel like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, like that's been decades and decades of what they've looked like. I don't think that's necessarily where the Packers are.
And it's
maybe right now under the Matt LaFleur regime. You could say that, but I don't want to admit that, so I'm not going to.
Packers are very good at not having a bad season. They are right there with the Steelers at not having a bad season. If you want to root for a team that's not going to have a bad season, man, the Packers are your team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
same with the Brewers.
They've obviously underperformed when it comes to the pro season. So in order to get that narrative off them, they need to win. Honestly, going into this next season, they need to win like 2 playoff games in my mind.
It's worth pointing out, and I agree with you, it's worth pointing out that the one team that is not good at consistently winning is the one team with a title in the last 20 years. Or, I'm sorry, 15 years. That's the Bucks.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. But lumping the Brewers in with the Packers, if you're looking at the last 3 seasons, I don't think is fair. Because that'd be essentially if the Packers had made the NFC Championship game last year, is what the Brewers did. And we'd be having a lot different conversation if the Packers were in the NFC Championship game last year than getting bounced in the wild card. That'd be like if the Brewers lost to the Cubs in the NLDS. I think you can compare them. Then it's it's equivalent. But the Brewers have been more successful by quite a wide margin than the Packers in the past 3 years.
That's fair. I didn't mean to be disrespectful to the Brewers.
I just had to jump in real quick.
No, that's fair. I'll take the backhanded slap against the Packers as a respect for the Brewers.
Sure. Whatever makes you two sleep at night.
This is Molly and Jim. Take over Wilding Tosh. Molly, 3 hours is a long time.
I feel like I'm running a marathon, which I would never do, but I feel like I'm running a marathon.
Yeah, running a marathon does not appeal to me.
I need like one of those like energy cubes and like a granola bar, just all the things.
Instead, I think we're both on cup number 3 of coffee.
Cup number 2 here and one that I had at home. Yes.
Same. I had one at home and 2 here. So I made a fresh pot of coffee here at the ESPN Madison Studios. It's like the one thing I contribute as a teammate. I think I can make a decent cup or a decent pot of coffee.
What would you do if somebody said the coffee that you made is garbage?
I'd throw it in their face.
Okay, that was aggressive. I was more so thinking like, oh, you suck at the one thing that you think you're good at, but it's fine.
That's true. A lot of people trying to get me fired on Twitter, which is hilarious. Which is, I always find they don't like my take that a walk-off is the least exciting way to end a game. Walk-off for baseball as opposed to a game-winning shot in basketball or a game-winning play in football, whether it's a pick six or whatever. It has a lot to do with the actual weight of it. That yesterday was a fun win. Brewer fans were into it. They had a great time. It's a raisin in the trail mix. And I'm judging it on the reverse side of it, but when Wilson Contreras hit the home, William Contreras,
get it together.
I just say
you
Contreras.
You do suck at your job as a
right,
sports
I know.
Host. My God.
Contreras hits a home run. I didn't care. Like, so that was kind of it. Like, as a fan of the opposing team, it was like, okay, cool. Like, however they won, it was going to be whatever. It didn't really matter. I was like, oh, there's fireworks. Now we get to go
on
the field.
Yes, but like that'd probably be my reaction if I went to a Cubs game. If they were playing the Marlins at a walk-off at Wrigley, I'm probably also like, meh.
Yeah, see, it's two things. But it's not your sport. It's not your team, number one. You're not a Brewers fan. You were until you were 18, like you said. But also, it's not your sport.
And I'm also not a Brewers hater, so it's like, whatever, good for them.
Fair.
Okay,
but also,
so maybe
it's the idea that baseball.
Pirates game then.
Yes, but like baseball's not gym sport. Like,
I just don't understand how anyone could care that much about baseball.
It's awesome. It's such a great sport.
162
it's so
games
fun.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It makes the summer so much better.
Yes.
When
but
you can go
listen,
home
listen,
and turn
listen,
on
listen,
the game.
Listen. Packers training camp starts in 9 days.
Yes.
You know what people care more about is Packers training camp right now.
Yeah. But not right now, they don't.
Yes, they will.
They will in 9 days.
Yes. I care more about Packers training camp.
I will still care more. Will we are we going to talk way more on our show? And will they talk more on this show about Packers training camp than Brewers baseball? Yes. But for me personally, I am still going to be more dialed in to the Milwaukee Brewers and their season than the Packers training camp, unless something catastrophic
and so,
or amazing happens.
Don't even manifest that.
So I
said or amazing.
I will say this, Riley, for fans like you, I honestly am rooting for the Brewers to go to the World Series. That's why I care about going to get Scooble and not doing the Brewers thing of like getting Peralta and saying we went all in. Like that's what, for you, my brother is a huge Brewers fan. For those sort of Brewer fans, the diehard ones, the ones on Sunday afternoon are yelling and screaming and acting like it was the World Series July 19th at 1 o'clock.
If you're going to the game
say,
and you're a diehard fan, I'm not yelling and screaming at home. I was actually, I did hear it on the radio and I was freaking out. But.
For you, I want you to win. Like, I want you to win. I honestly am rooting for that for you because it's a great feeling. Honestly, it lifts the pressure off. I'll be honest, I'm not a baseball fan. I don't really care that much what the Cubs do here or there. Like, I just follow along. So, for me, baseball is just a get-by sport. Like, it's just something that I'm going to follow along until I can get to something that matters, football.
But if I'm in the environment
World
that
Cup
you were.
World Cup was great, too, yeah.
World Cup was great. I was
way more interested
goal!
In World Cup and way more invested in random World Cup games than I was any Brewer game.
I was invested in the United States when they were in. Once they got knocked out, I was like, okay, I'm not prioritizing the World Cup over the Milwaukee Brewers.
I contemplated bringing the World Cup on my phone, but my family would have been mad I had my phone out at the game. But they didn't play it anywhere, and so...
They didn't even show it on like the big board at all?
And the game
kind of
stunk from what I heard.
No, it was a great game. It was a great game.
Argentina had zero shots on goal.
Yeah, because Spain dominated the crap out of them. So good. It was so good. Oh, I'm sorry that they weren't scoring 15 goals like they were in the freaking England-France
game. That sounded like it was awesome.
Boring. So boring. Until France started to come back, but then when they pulled away again, it was like, okay.
That LSU-Texas A&M 7 overtime 73-72 game, that was really boring. They scored too many points.
It's not the same thing. You're talking about going into overtime, going into a million different overtimes. Also, the fact that there's like 7 overtimes or whatever you just said, that's a problem.
I will say this.
That's why they changed the overtime rules.
A third-place game, that game couldn't have gone better for like the casuals because there was scoring. People were going to stay in watching it because it's a third-place game, and like that doesn't feel like
But they also American pulled away fans. So far that I was like, this is like boring.
Well, true. That's what I turned it on. I'm like, they're already up 3 or 4-0. Forget it. And I just stopped watching.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But if
I'm in the environment that you're talking about, like for the Brewers, I would have probably been one of the fans that would have been hyped up, yelling and screaming like at them having a walk-off like that, because that is incredible. And I can immerse myself into whatever I'm at like that. However, it's like if it was opposite and I walk away from that game and the Brewers lost, it's not going to affect me.
So it wasn't like it was mainly – so I was happy. All I wanted in that game was one, like I said, I was hoping there was a chance for a no-hitter. And then I was very annoyed because I thought they were going to have the no-hitter be nullified because of one bad scoring when – Vaughn hit a ball to third base and hit the third baseman in the glove, and they called that a hit and not an error. And I was going to be really annoyed because it got to like the seventh with one hit for the Brewers. And I was like, if they get one hit and I could have seen a no-hitter and they scored it just to have a home score, I was going to be pissed. But that didn't happen. And then it was really like, can we wrap this game up, please, for the love of God? Honestly, if anything else, I was very excited that Contreras walked it off because I didn't want extras because we were staying for the ability for my daughters to run the field. So I never stay to the end of a game. And baseball. I never stay to the end of a baseball game. It's never worth it.
Are you serious?
And like if I had gotten in my car yesterday and missed the walk-off, I would have, okay. And so, but my daughters wanted to run the bases afterwards. So I was happy it ended. So I wasn't like grumpy. I was like, okay, it's over. Let's get down to the first base line and let's get going. Let's get moving in it. Like, it's finally done. Like, we can get moving. Because we got their ice cream. We got to sit in the sun. We got to chat. Got great family time. Like, I had a great experience. But to me, the baseball, like, the outcome is the least important part of a baseball game. That's why AmFam Field does such a great job, because it's like, we had a lot of fun.
So Mark Antanasio banks on people like you.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I care about people like Riley and my brother, that I want them to win. They shouldn't be trying to do things for fans like me. Or I'm just looking for one of the – I'll go to the fair, then I'll go to a Brewer game, then I'll go to a forward game and a Mallard. I'm just checking – I'll do the job, just checking off boxes to do with my kids. But a baseball game with the kids is a great time.
But there are so many families out there exactly like yours that don't care but are still paying the Brewers money because it's a fun experience.
Right, and I'm not faulting any of that. And I'm saying that I am – the only passion I have for baseball and the Brewers, honestly, and I might be the biggest passion I have, is for fans like you and my brother, where – you guys deserve a team that gives a damn and actually goes gets the World Series. Like, I want that for you. It's a great feeling. I want it for you. I hope your ownership finally just steps in and does it. I mean that sincerely. I want a World Series for Brewers fans.
I appreciate that. And I think the Brewers are set up in the next couple of years to win a World Series. And you don't need to sell the farm for a rental of Tarek Skubal.
You got too many horses in the farm. You can sell a few. This is Molly and Jim, presented by Wilder and Tausch. This is from KPP. I do like the Kevin from Pleasant Prairie. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but strange tidbit from Sunday's Brewer game. The Marlins' only run was scored by a home run by Ruiz, who was once a top pick in the Brewers organization. A few years ago, the Brewers traded him and got William Contreras.
Oh, that's interesting.
Pretty sweet.
I hope that's real.
I was going to say, Riley, is that true? You're our fact checker right now.
Regardless,
also, if the Brewers are your favorite team, you would know that off the top of your head.
So she's Molly Brown. I'm Jim Rutledge. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream and stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Everyone is mad at me, Molly, so my People Like Me plate still works. But I do want to ask this question. It seems like maybe LeBron James is going to make his decision today. And
Wait, hold on, pause. Why do you say maybe seems like?
So Patrick Beverley put out that the decision's coming today, but more importantly, I believe the line, or you can't bet on it anymore.
Okay.
On where he's going to go. So
he's going to Miami.
If he goes to Miami, I'm rooting for LeBron to go to Miami, and this is what I wanted to ask you, because I think it just drives home and makes Miami the least likable team in basketball.
I almost feel like I'm in the minority, because if that happens, well, even if it doesn't happen, I'm rooting for Giannis to not have success in okay. Miami. I know okay. That makes me sound like a terrible person. I'm a score and ex-girlfriend basically right now. That's just how I feel right now. Maybe once the season actually tips off, I'll feel a little bit different.
He changed 34 because it means too much.
Yeah, we
to
get
him.
To keep the number. We get to keep the number here Ray in Milwaukee. Allen's we number. Should be so thankful that we get to keep the number 34. But No, so if LeBron goes to Miami, I will hate them ten times
more. That's what I wanted.
100
I wanted
times
to be
more.
Like, I want a team to just point to and say, I hate them.
But I think I'm in the, don't you feel like you're in the minority? Like, I feel like now that Giannis is actually gone, people are like, oh, we love you, Giannis. We want so much success.
I think we're ahead of the curve. The second Giannis starts playing and does all the things he does and all the things he said in Milwaukee and says them down in Miami, because it's just human nature, that I think fans are going to get very upset. He's never going to rip Milwaukee because he did truly love Milwaukee.
Right.
But you're still going to, again, back to the
I'm annoyed that he's trying to pretend like he's never had an Oreo before.
Yeah, that's obnoxious.
Like, the idea
that's
that he
I mean.
Just said
like,
that.
That stuff in Wisconsin when he was a buck, that's endearing.
But it was
now
fine
you
because it's like, okay,
eyes.
You came from Greece and you had so many firsts happen here in America.
Honestly,
and in
that's
Milwaukee.
Like a mark against you if you've been in the United States for, 15 years and haven't had an Oreo.
I'm almost certain there's documentation of him having an Oreo while in Milwaukee.
And that's
there
the easiest thing to say.
Like,
I've never had Chick-fil-A before.
Yeah, like how, like, no, he's.
That'd be frustrating.
No. So it's like those kind of things that I see. I'm just like, stop trying to, like, make Miami a whole new personality.
I think that from afar, Giannis probably annoyed a lot of fan bases. And I think very quickly, he will annoy our fan base when he's not on our team doing all the things for Miami, especially if it's with LeBron and he takes on LeBron tendencies and the two of them are just the most boisterous, over the top acting players out there in the NBA. It's going to be a lot. Now, and the nice thing is for Bucks, we can root for Burries to play well, and then we can hate watch the Heat.
Yeah, we're going to be hate watching a lot this season, I fear. But feelings aside, do you actually think that Giannis and LeBron and let's say Bam Adebayo could come together to win a title?
No, I don't think that's
you don't think
team.
That makes them a championship contender?
I think both LeBron and Giannis are too inconsistent with their health. LeBron more of like you can only play him so much, and Giannis hasn't had a healthy season in a long time.
True.
I don't think the spacing is good enough either. So that's why they're a perfect team to hate. It's very much like the first year of the Heatles. They went out and lost to Dallas. All right, well, I think most people will be happy that we won't be back out of the game when we're doing our show in Madison 4-6. Thanks for listening.